Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Michigan's going to be one of the winners in our transfer portal winners and losers that's coming out tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that one. Dusty May's done a nice job of putting together a roster there, but from what I understand, the academic hang-ups there that kept Caleb Love from enrolling last year kind of snuck up and got him again.
Yeah.
Because I think John L. Davis might have followed Dusty May.
It's the one-year transfers. It's hard to get in as a one-year transfer at Michigan. The credits don't transfer enough because you have to have like 80% of your credits accepted by the school if you're a one-year transfer.
What happened to Michigan playing ball? I was told
they'll
Michigan,
play ball if you're willing to come for multiple years.
I was told
years.
Michigan was going to play ball no matter what.
Well, a lot of things are different than I thought. Dusty May, this is a bold move. I don't know if there's any other coach in the country doing this. He was going around to fraternity houses in Ann Arbor for like a social media video of him talking about the team.
On what day?
On 420. That's a bold move. Bold move by Dusty May, especially in a place like Ann Arbor. Assuming maybe they had to make some edits in the video, you know, especially the fraternity brothers didn't know what was happening. But he seems to be off to a good start at Michigan. We'll see. You know, we saw the dangers of having, you know, he much like Penny, has a roster that's, you know, been created out of thin air, out of necessity this year.
Yep, no choice. No choice for first-year coach in particular. I mean, there's a lot of them. One of my favorite games to play right now is which first-year coach is going to have the most success or the best roster, because you know, there's a handful of them out there that are just desperately clawing to put together a competent roster right now at pretty big-name programs, too. I mean, Michigan, Kentucky, Louisville, Arkansas, all in the first year with a new coach, USC, you know, as well. So it's pretty hefty group of big-name coaches at big-name programs that have literally, in some cases, 13 open scholarships. Mm-hmm. And they filled a bunch of them. But even though this deadline is going to hit tonight to enter, I mean, we still have a few weeks left of players committing and rosters getting filled out. And certainly that's the case at Memphis as well.
Yeah, no, we mentioned the FAU guys. John L. Davis, the AAC or co-AAC player of the year, ended up signing with Arkansas today. So I believe that means the two AAC players of the year, Chris Youngblood. Who'd Chris Youngblood sign with? Auburn? Is that right?
Alabama.
He signs with Alabama. And
those two schools won't be offended by you. Flipping
and John L. Davis signs with Arkansas and Calipari. So that's pretty interesting from an AAC perspective. You mentioned the 2 7-footers that Michigan has, and one of them fits this story you did the other day, I believe it was yesterday, on this new trend that we have here of not just Ivy League grad transfers. So guys who got their Ivy degree and then transfer for their last year of eligibility to play at like a bigger school. We've got guys now this year.
The Danny Etling.
Yeah, guys this year who are saying, you know what? Screw this Ivy League degree. I want to make hundreds of thousands of dollars in NIL money. That's worth it compared to the Ivy League degree. I didn't realize this was a trend, and it is worth a debate. What's worth more, short-term NIL or long-term Ivy League degree? I didn't know that debate was going to be in my life, but now I'm fascinated by it.
Right? Like, you're making a big-time bet on yourself when you leave the Ivy League and you leave the chance to have a degree from a place like Harvard that has an acceptance rate of like 3%, has some of the world's wealthiest alums, all the connections you could ever ask for in life for the next 40 to 60 years when you graduate from a place like that. You leave that behind in pursuit of an NIL check. I mean, that's a big risk on yourself. And so, yeah, it's a trend that has accelerated this year. Malik Mack going to Georgetown from Harvard with 3 years left to play. Your guy Danny Wolf, Mark, he's another one going from Yale to Michigan. And I'll say this,
Michigan is the Harvard of the West, according to Michigan lore.
According to Michigan.
But Georgetown, Michigan, Tyler Perkins is going from Penn to Villanova. Like, those are good schools. But still, you're leaving the Ivy League.
Is the Princeton kid leaving?
Well, there is a Princeton kid leaving, but it's a situation where he's a grad transfer.
Is the Asian guy leaving?
He's a grad transfer, though.
Yeah.
You're talking about Lee. He's testing the draft, but I don't think he's in the portal.
Okay.
I think it really depends on, like, all right, am I going pro in something other than sports? Like, I don't think, Krob, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's a lot of 9th or 10th guys on the Ivy League benches that are interning at Goldman's this summer that are entering the portal. I think those guys are staving. I think it's the guys that think, like, I want to see how far I can go in basketball.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they definitely. I mean, Malik Mack could end up being a pro prospect. Danny Wolf has some pro upside. I mean, we'll see what he becomes in the Big Ten. Tyler Perkins is a kid who played 1 year at Penn. He was part of that Big Five where Villanova really struggled. And then Villanova was like, okay, we could get 3 years with this guy who kicked our butt in Philly. So I'm sure he's getting a nice payday. So you're right. It's these guys that at least do have some NBA potential. But it's interesting, isn't it, to see NIL. And here's the interesting part. What if the Ivy League donors and backers got together and formed a collective? What if a handful of wealthy, sports-interested Princeton alums decided to create a collective? I mean, they could make Princeton a powerhouse. Because you could have the best of both worlds. You could get paid and get an elite-level degree. But there's just been a ton of resistance from the Ivy League schools and from their alums to even wade into the NIL waters whatsoever.
So you're kind of hypothesizing, what if, let's just say, Princeton wanted to become Duke in the 80s?
Yeah, I think it could happen. And the Ivy League is even having success now anyway.
I think the argument against it would be, even though it's easier to be an athlete and to get into an Ivy League school, it's still exceptionally difficult.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, I remember my youngest brother wanted to play baseball at Dartmouth. He had at least a 32, and he was, National Honor Society. He was like he was a quality candidate. He didn't get in. I remember the same thing. One of my buddies that was a little bit older than me on my baseball team was like fifth in his class at MUS and couldn't get in. It's still really hard for athletes to get in, even though it's easier for athletes to get in.
Yeah, it stinks for Tommy Amaker, the coach up at Harvard, because he's lost now Malik Mack, who was going to be a stud for him for several years. And then he lost this guy yesterday, Chisholm Okpara. So he lost his two leading scorers to the portal. And how about this? Harvard admits on average 12 transfers per year out of 1,500 applicants. So it's not like Tommy Amaker can just go find some guy who was playing at St. Peter's and add him to the roster. You know, he loses his two best players and leading scorers and has no recourse for replacing them. That's tough.
It is kind of a funny question. You're seeing a lot of, this is not a political comment. This is just a statement of fact. You're seeing a lot of high-profile Ivy League graduates that are withholding their money from the school because of things that are going on. Like Bob Kraft is withdrawing his money from Columbia. What if Bob Kraft just wants the Columbia football team to be good? You know what I mean? Go form the Kraft Collective. It's got a nice alliteration there. All of a sudden, Columbia's not the bottom of the Ivy League.
All this wealth, and I'm sure they've got more important causes to donate to than like the collectives and the basketball. And I'm sure keeping Malik Mack in a Harvard uniform is priority number 95 to most Harvard alums. But most Harvard alums have more money than they know what to do with. It's fascinating to see the Ivy League become a stepping stone for college basketball players.
What do we make of? This is admittedly, I've told Mark, I've told Jeff, one of my simple pleasures in life is watching a fan base come to grips with reality. Mm-hmm. What do we make of how Kentucky's handling right now, the way things are going?
Yeah, I give the roster as currently constructed like a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament, like type of grade.
So kind of like BYU.
Yeah, kind of like BYU. I mean, it's incomplete. Like, they still got...
Right, and they're still a big transfer window, with all due respect.
Maybe I'm reading you wrong in terms of where you're leading this. I actually think, given the circumstances, who ended up as their coach, like, what's happening in the portal...
I'd rather be Arkansas.
I know, but I think they're actually, by Kentucky fan standards, handling it relatively sanely so far. Like, most feel like they're in the wait-and-see mode still. No, I'm not seeing like crazy craven reaction.
I would say there is some. At best, there is some denial.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing well in the portal. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Mark Pope to come in and keep the freshman signing class together. And correct me if I'm wrong. Did Kentucky fans not want a change from the coach who relied too heavily on freshmen?
Yeah, right. But I think it's the same thing. It's like Alabama fans are going to have to come to grips with it here in the next couple of years. Alabama's still going to recruit well. Like, duh. But you're not going to recruit like Alabama did under Nick Saban. So like there's going to be an element of that. I think, though, what I'm more interested about, because Paul Feinbaum was here on Monday speaking to the Touchdown Club, and Mark had written down a couple of things that he said. And this is what I find fascinating. If the Mark Pope era exceeds expectations, and I guess, I don't know, like let's say they get that 6-7 seed, and they make the Sweet 16. Like, I think...
Or let's say Mark Pope in the next 4 years
leads
them to the Final Four.
No, because I don't think you can... I think the five-year plan mm-hmm. doesn't exist.
Okay.
So you have to think of it in these terms. I don't think Kentucky fans are going Final or Four bust for next year. I think this year, had Cal come back, I think it would have largely played out like that. And I think that's why we see Cal in the end make the decision to leave. What I find fascinating is so much now is momentum and getting all your people on board and maximizing money and maximizing donations, whatnot. If the Mark Pope era gets off to bubble territory, because again, you look at their roster, it's like, it's a BYU roster. It's like, okay, they made the tournament. But, man, like, I don't know if they, you know, part of it's the Big 12's reputation. Like, okay, well, they won enough games in the Big 12. They got in. Like, one of their big wins was that win at Kansas. Well, it turns out Kansas has been yelling at us for about a month. We're not good, but we just refuse to listen to them. What does the Mark Pope era look like year two? If things, like, to me, like, that's the whole part of it. It's like, if you can exceed expectations, I think it's super easy to keep it rolling. Because now you convince people, all right, we just got to get the top-end guys here. Like, well, let's make that happen. But if it's kind of a wait and see, then you kind of end up just staying in this lane of, we don't have bad players, but we don't have, like, the best players. Like, that's what fascinates me about the time that we're in right now.
Well, talking about year two for Mark Pope, he's got 4 scholarships left, and I think he needs to use at least a couple of those on players with multiple seasons of eligibility remaining. Now, I know in college basketball now, it's every year, it's year to year with your roster. And maybe you get a couple guys with multiple years of eligibility remaining and they only stay 1 year, right? Well, at least give yourself a chance to have some continuity after year one, because Kirk Creasa, Lamont Butler, Kobe Brea, Andrew Carr, Otega Owe, Amari Williams, like six of the nine guys that he has right now are going to be out of eligibility after this next season. He's already guaranteed to be churning his roster at least half of it after his first year. So he's got to use at least a couple of these scholarships on guys that could come back for 25, 26. Otherwise, he's just going to be in the same situation next year where he's frantically trying to throw a roster together. And we know that's not really sustainable.
It feels like he's in a bit of a tough spot. He's a late arrival, right, given in the offseason. And, I don't know, it feels like it's a tough spot. Like, you can say it in theory, but, like, ultimately the guy, he's at Kentucky. He's got to put the best possible team together. And if he waits on these multi-year guys and doesn't take a Brea or doesn't, you know, like, in the moment, it's easier said than done, it feels like.
Yeah, you can do both. I think you can do both. You can double track that a little bit. I mean, you get the vets. He's got his vets now. He's got his core group. But he actually has a pretty good defensive team. I don't know if, like, people realize that.
As long as he makes the tournament next year, he'll be fine, I think. He just can't miss the tournament at Kentucky, even in year one. You're setting yourself up to fail. We've got an update involving, you're the keeper of the transfer portal, so this is I think this might be a new one. I haven't heard this one happening. So earlier this hour, Cyan James, the Tulane wing, puts out a photo on Instagram of himself in Memphis, and everyone runs with it. Oh, he's here on a visit with Memphis basketball. Jason Munns has reported here in the last 7 minutes or so that he's now being told Cyan James is actually here for a Grizzlies workout.
Yeah.
He's not here for the Tigers. So we have this crossover now of, you know, these guys who declared for the draft but also entered the transfer portal. And if you happen to be, you know, place like Memphis, place like Houston, could be there for any number of reasons. Don't make the assumption he's there to visit a college campus. Hold your horses on that one. That's a new one for
That's
me,
funny.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, given that Penny has often assembled, like, the AAC All-Stars, it actually would have made a lot of sense.
And, Cobb, even more so, while his numbers are, like, not eye-popping, had a couple of really nice games against the Tigers. That also fits the bill. Like, if you had a good game against Penny, like, all of a sudden you're moving up his draft board.
Yeah. Listen, I do not blame people for jumping to that conclusion. It made some sense.
If you've laid it out this way, would you believe Cyan James was in Memphis for a visit or for a Grizzlies workout? I would say, my instinct would say a visit at Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking a UDFA territory for Cyan James.
What do you think of TJ Bamba? He visited Memphis this past weekend. Yeah. Sounds like it's Memphis or Oregon potentially for him. What do you make of him, particularly, I would say, if David Jones elects to remain at Memphis rather than going professional?
Well, I mean, if David Jones stays in Memphis and you add TJ Bamba, you got a pretty good wing duo there. In addition to the Wichita State Rogers, the shooter, Bamba's, he's an experienced guy. He was at Washington State. He was at Villanova. I didn't have him ranked this year, but not because I don't think he's a good player. I think he is a good player.
Also fits the bill. I believe he was the leading scorer when Villanova beat Memphis in the Bahamas this year.
Yeah, there you go. I like him. I think he'd be a great ad for Memphis. I actually think he would be more important if David Jones doesn't return.
Yeah.
Because you need somebody with a little bit of size and versatility on the wing, because I think Rogers is more of just a pure shooter, whereas TJ Bamba can do a little bit more for you, more of a three-level scorer and a two-way type of guy.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. All right, Cobb, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. Birdies is Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf. They've got three golf simulators as well as a virtual putting course, full service bar, outstanding TV setup. Makes for a great spot to just go hang out and friends or go and work on your game. If you got a big golf trip coming up this summer, go get ready for that golf trip on one of their simulators. They have over 600 courses worldwide. Basically, if you're going to go and play it, you can play it on their simulators right there at Birdies. 493 South Main Street, Suite 101 in the South Main District of downtown. Check out their membership options. For $100 a month, you can get 10 hours on the simulators. Follow them on Instagram at Birdies901. If you need more information, you can also visit their website, golfatbirdies.com. which is also where you can reserve your hitting bay today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.